creatures of the forest and beasts of the field. Hello there, and welcome to Music Weekly from Guardian.co.uk. I'm Paul McInnes, and on this week's show, Rosie Swash will be chatting with legendary punk writer John Savage to find out why he's come over all disco. Tim Jones will be getting teary-eyed, reminiscing about Kim Weston. We'll have your face back and thoughts on last week's show, plus music from El Guincho, Q-Tip, and TV on the Radio in Singles Club. But first, hark. Is it a bird? Is it a family of sweet-voiced voles? No, it's the verdant sounds of the Fleet Foxes.
Wanderers this morning came by. Where do they go, graceful in the morning light? To Banner Fair, to follow you softly in the cold night wind. Through the forest, down to your grave, where the birds wait and the tall grasses wait, they do not know you anymore. Town one morning I went staggering through premonitions of my death. I don't see anybody that dear to me. Dear shadow alive and well, how can the body die? Anything true, Jesse. I don't know what I have done. I'm turning myself into a demon. I don't know what I have done. I'm turning myself into a demon.
That's the close harmonies of Seattle five-piece Fleet Foxes, a band whose eponymous debut album has been given 5 stars more often than a hotel with really posh soap. After 6 months of adulation and playing the world's festivals, the band have been back in the UK of late doing a proper tour. So I took that opportunity to catch up with Robin Pecknold. He's head Fleet Fox, by the way, and here's what he had to say. You've been there touring the UK of late.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to ask you a kind of facetious question to begin with.
Okay.
What have you learned about the UK in your last few weeks of touring
the last
country?
Few weeks. I like the word, or the phrase, top up.
Top up?
Top
on
up.
On your mobile.
Mm-hmm. That's new.
Really?
We don't have that.
What do you do
States.
When you want to refurbish your credit?
I don't know what it's called. I think it's called like a prepay card.
So nobody ever runs out. Nobody ever needs to top up.
No.
In the States.
Well, nobody really does that. It's all like monthly plans.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, fascinating.
See, this is what I mean. If you go on an international tour, you notice the huge disparities in cultures.
Right.
We have top-up cards, you don't.
Yeah. There's more of a walking culture over here, too. I've noticed, like, journeyman walkers, you know, like it seems like you guys have a lot of walking trails.
We do. Right? We do. It's called rambling. We call
rambling?
It rambling. Yeah.
Rambling.
And ramblers, they're like a political unit. They're like a body. Mm-hmm. And you do not mess with the ramblers.
Yeah.
What's the response been like from the audience? I presume it's been pretty good.
It's been great. Yeah, it's been heartening.
Are you surprised by how familiar people are with your music?
Do you mean like singing along or like
yeah, and people kind of cheering for their favorites and all
yeah,
that
that's
stuff.
Always surprising. I don't know that it seems like in Britain the crowds have been more very like respectful. People haven't been like singing along and like dancing. Like they've been very sweet and like listening and watching, which is great.
To ask you about the music now, the album itself is such a cohesive whole, at least it feels like that as a listener. Is there a unifying idea or ambition behind it?
I mean, aside from like the idea that an album should be cohesive, you know, like we had no concept of like how to do that. You know, it took like 6 months and like three tries to kind of get it to where it ended up being. And the only reason we stopped was because it was like, we should stop now. You know, we ran out of money and, you know, we wanted to come out at some point, so we should stop. If there's like a lyrical, you know, thread that runs through the whole thing, you know, maybe it's, most of the lyrics were written actually over here. It was in like last September, me and my brother and sister came over here for like 3 weeks just to ramble.
Oh, really? Oh, really? You heard about it on the International Rambling Network.
Right.
Get to the UK, you've got a right to roam.
Right. No, we didn't ramble much, but we came over here and just like that experience, I think there was like a lot of like the family themes, I guess, sort of came out of that, you know.
Well, that's quite interesting, yeah. Bearing in mind that the next question is it I'm going to ask you, which you've probably been asked several times before, but there's a lot of talk in Britain about your album. As I'm sure you're aware, it's been unanimously received in raptures. Everybody loves it, the critics especially. And I separate them from normal humans.
Right.
It's always talked about as being an interpretation of Americana, of a particular American type of music,
right.
Going back to Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, but other yeah. types of folk and stuff. Do you see it in those terms? But, you know, it seems interesting you're talking about writing the lyrics in the UK.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, that's a weird thing. I mean, I think that there are certain American elements, you know. I would much sooner listen to like a Steel Ice Band song than a Grateful Dead song, you know, just like speaking in broad terms or whatever, you know. I would find stuff more personally interesting like in like a Fairport Convention song than a James Taylor song or uh-huh. something, you know. I think that the inspirations, you know, or the bands that we were listening to, or it was more maybe British bands.
So do you feel uncomfortable then when people talk about you in terms of being a kind of a flagship for a kind of a modern Americana?
Well, I think that just comes from like the acoustic guitar, mandolin, dulcimer kind of instrumentation, you know, more than, and also like there's a certain like natural element in the lyrics, you know. I don't know. I just, in my mind, I have associations between like Americana and like the deep, like Confederate South, mm-hmm. which is like, you know, obviously like could not be further from what's interesting to me personally. You know, I don't have a deep abiding love for secession, you know, but
oh,
they can
Dixie.
Secede, that's fine.
No, I was because my follow-up question was going to be if Sarah Palin was to see you today, would she have the Fleet Foxes down as real Americans?
No, hopefully not. She only knew.
How was it? How was it?
Socialism.
And, well, indeed, it's now in. Socialism has been endorsed. What were your feelings about the election last week? It was big.
Pretty disappointed, gotta say. Pretty disappointed.
What did you do? Did you go and binge eat for a couple of days? Over it?
No, I was super. I to me, it still feels like a dream. You know, like can you imagine what that's? I can't imagine the next 4 years in any like real terms, you know. I mean, you come from like a lifetime of being basically disappointed by politics, and like that disappointment in politics almost like shaping everybody, you know. Like I feel like everyone's kind of cynical and like doubtful because of like just the politics of the last 20 years, you know, now to move into an era where, like, you know, Jon Stewart might be basically out of a job, you know, it's like,
that's right.
It's quite amazing. I mean, I can't, but I have no parallels, you know, I can't even imagine what it's going to be like. It's either going to be the most amazing thing or, like, you know, just
the biggest disappointment.
The biggest disappointment.
Are you interested in myths and legends and things as well? Do you have?
Yeah. Just like stuff like Beowulf or like Gawain and the Green Knight, you know, like that kind of early literature stuff, I guess. That stuff's interesting to read.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's all like kind of like there's not a ton to learn from it as you could learn from like a contemporary book, but it's like, you know, it's fascinating and it's kind of transportative. You know?
Yeah. And stylistically as well, it lacks a lot. It lacks exposition. There's not much kind of spelling out as to what's going
on.
And that's something you can also pick up in your lyrics as well.
Right.
A lot of that, this is a good thing.
Yeah, it's a positive.
You know, the characters you can kind of, you're left to imagine and fill out their stories a little bit yourself.
For sure. Yeah.
Right. Well, Robin Picknell, it's been lovely to meet you. And thanks for coming in on this horribly gloomy day.
No, that's great.
That was Robin Pecknold of the Fleet Foxes, and their album, also called Fleet Foxes, is out on Bella Union right now. And if you can hold on till February, the band are back in London playing two dates at the Roundhouse. Great acoustics, I hear. Rosie Swash, who joins me in the studio today. How are you, Rosie?
I'm all right, how are
you? Can you come on? Very well. Can you comment on the Roundhouse acoustics? It's a good place for a band of many harmonies to play, no?
Yeah, it's a very nice venue. I can see from any angle.
Can you?
Yeah. Yes. It's often a problem for me at gigs because I'm very short and I've got terrible eyesight.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that you've got some kind of messianic quality. I can see from any angle.
That too.
Joining us this week, because that's Rosie, this is me, but we're going to go and review stuff in Singles Club. Joining us to make our Singles Club curate is freshly appointed Deputy Editor of Observer Music Monthly, Gareth Grundy. Hello, Gareth.
Hello.
Taciturn. You are new to this job. What I want to know is, has there been any military-style hazing?
Not yet, although there's been some kind of whispering in corners, so maybe it's on the way.
Has there? That's how we do it at The Guardian. We don't face up.
There'll be like a bag over my head, snooker ball and a sock, the full 9 yards.
And you'll wake up in a prison in Bulgaria. Great. Well, Gareth, as is traditional, in your slot as the guest, we're going to play your choice first, which you've chosen, Dancing Choose by TV on the Radio.
From his boots to his pen, to his comments and his rants, he knows that any little article will do. Though he expresses some confusion about his part in the play, and he can't understand that he's not in command. The decision's underwritten by the cash in his hand, bought a sweater for his one or two. Now I'm no madman, but that's insanity. This before feminine, more before family. Goes and shows up.
That was TV on the Radio and Dancing Choose. Brooklyn hipster band TV on the Radio are back with their fourth album, Dear Science. The band originally opted for a comma after the title, meaning to suggest that a letter was being written to the scientific community. But the comma was dropped when they realised people might confuse it with science. The MC from Series 6 of Big Brother. Dancing Choose is the second single from the new album. The band changed the title from Dancing Shoes after they worried that people might confuse the song with a pair of 6-inch heels. Gareth, this is your choice. Do you care to tell us why you have made it?
Why is it my choice? It's about my favourite track on the album, that and Family Tree, and I chose them as much as this track, because I think this record, and I'm going to stick my neck on the line here and say it is to kind of America right now, between Bush and Obama, what OK Computer was to 90s Britain. It's the same kind of sense of fear and loathing and confusion and paranoia. And a kind of, you know, slightly opaque lyrics that allude to, you know, we're feeling a bit upset about the world.
That's interesting. That's very interesting. Rosie, would you concur?
Yes, I had written down this album as a last vestige to Bush-era America.
That's kind of that. You haven't got the opacity.
So maybe other people are thinking that way too.
It's not an original observation, but yeah, it is. And you know, obviously has the doomsday do up India is their trademark, and it comes together. Captures the imagination of the you know, American public right now really well. And the my favourite songs on there are DLZ and Love Dog, which I think also have it. But it's the concept that runs throughout the whole album.
But it's probably important to say it's not as miserable as OK Computer. Yeah. And you can probably
Family Tree is absolutely beautiful. What a beautiful track.
And you can probably dance to it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I mean the chorus on this is beautiful too, and it's and that great coda of horns at the end is really funky.
And they'd probably be more fun to have a drink with.
Haven't they mellowed? Hasn't Tom York mellowed on age?
A bit, perhaps
marginally. What I'd like to know is, I wonder about these opaque lyrics. It reminded me a little bit of Paperback Writer. I mean, a bit more opaque, but it reminded me a little bit of that. And I wondered if there's just not a small smidgen of the hipster's dilemma here, in that you can go and you can write these things that kind of sneer at the culture in which and which they're observing, but yet at the same time they're kind of part of that culture themselves. With they
but are you saying they're sort of sneering at hipster America?
Well, I think there's an element, certainly the stuff of the talking about the newspaper men and the jumpers for the puppies and all those sorts of things. That's a kind of, it's a metropolitan way of living, which is probably, those, if you go and met those sorts of people in real life, they probably have TV on the radio on their record shelves.
Yeah, I guess that's fair enough. We're metropolitan on both coasts mainly, but if you want a kind of Midwestern take on the US, what have you got? I don't know, maybe Bruce Springsteen or Guns N' Roses. Who knows what Chinese democracy is going to be like? But yeah, it's kind of inevitable, really, that art rock bands always live in the cool parts of the world.
Yeah, but also kind of look to burst out of that and critique it as well, but while being
See,
part
I took
of it.
It more to be they were playing. They're trying to play out the twin of the idea that you can live in this culture at this huge, momentous time and be totally closed off from it, which is, I guess, the view a lot of people had of Americans.
But I think it's got a bigger reach as well. Family Tree, you know, kind of alludes to lynching.
Yeah.
So, you know, their concerns are kind of beyond Brooklyn and beyond Williamsburg, I think.
Oh, sure. Sure. I mean, yeah, no, indeed. I was just seeing if I could stretch the conversation out for another 25 seconds, which I managed to do. So a big pat on the back for me. Okay, that is TV on the Radio's Dancing Tunes, and it's available to buy right now, and you can find it on the album Dear Science. Second up on Singles Club today, it's Man Woman Boogie by Q-Tip.
They don't care who it is, they're watching you. Conspiracy, so you might as well dance. Getting down Zulu. Man, woman, yo, you might as well dance. Getting down Zulu, come on, come on.
Getting round in some between one man and man. One minute we're so far apart, and then together we stand. Getting down in some between one man and man.
That's Man Woman Boogie by Q-Tip, which interestingly enough on my CD is listed as Man Woman Boggy.
And mine.
Which I actually prefer. Q-Tip began his life as Jonathan Davis in 1970 and began his music career as head honcho of original Backpack Rappers, A Tribe Called Quest, in 1988. The group had five albums, including the seminal Midnight Marauders. The group had five albums, including the seminal Midnight Marauders, before splitting up in 1998, following which Q-Tip went on to produce a gold-selling debut album, Amplified. 10 years later, he returns with his third solo album. We'll pass over the second. And this is called The Renaissance. And he still managed to avoid translating his name to the English cotton bod for UK audiences. Well done, that man. This is my choice this week. No surprises there, it being Backpacker Rap. I think Q-Tip, I think he'd like to be Kanye West. I do think he'd like to be playing stadiums. I think Amplified was an attempt to bust out into that mass market. It didn't do very well, as you can probably tell from the...
But it's a good record, no?
Amplified.
Amplified.
Yeah, I like it. I like it, but it's a lot more commercial than what he used to make at Tribe Called Quest, and I think that's where he'd ultimately like to be. He then spent several years trying to become a movie star and not really succeeding. So I think the lack of success has driven him back to the jazzy-oriented hip-hop of Tribe Called Quest and the Low End Theory in particular. I was a bit anxious this album would be totally dad rap. It is quite dad rap in ways, but I think this song has the best groove on the album. And it's thoughtful, and it's got a little bit more attention to detail than I remember from Tribe Called Quest. The sound's a bit richer. And yeah, it makes me, if wanting to dance to something is an agreeable quality, and it seems to be this week, then it makes me want to dance. Gareth, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, didn't Kanye West start out by wanting to be Q-Tip? Rather than
the other way around. Well, times
Maybe they're
times
the same
change.
Person, you never see them in the same room anymore.
No, you don't. The fact that they physically don't really resemble each other in photographs shouldn't put us off.
And I think, he's kind of opened the door for him, and Lupe Fiasco maybe have opened the door for kind of Q-Tip to come back and not be rubbish.
Yeah, I mean, I mean that's certainly one. My cynical heart makes me think that it's actually not an album of last resort, but he's realized that he's returning to his base, really. But
do you think he's basically just made a Tribe Called Quest record? Because that's what the whole album just sounds like.
Yeah.
How you would want a Tribe Called Quest record to sound with your favorite member of Tribe Called Quest without Five Dog, who, let's face it, is not nearly as good.
See, Five Dog is my favorite member of Tribe Called Quest.
Really?
Yeah. I think in Midnight Marauders, he's a bit more saucy. I quite like that. He's got lots of funny punchlines. That's what I like, rather than kind of more bit more cerebral musing. But yeah, I think you're right. I can't remember the name of the final album, like the White Album, the Tribe Called Quest.
Love Movement,
and that was pretty dire. And I think this is kind of the album you might have hoped he would have made then instead. But you know that it's taken him 10 years to do that is no big thing. Rosie, do you like this track in particular?
I do. I think immediately I thought, yes, this is something that a Tribe Called Quest would make and not what I affiliate with Q-Tip solo stuff, which is the amplified stuff, which I thought was actually very ahead of the game at the time that it was produced. If you look at the kind of hip-hop beats that he was producing, it was really futuristic. And it did do well commercially then, but it didn't do well in this... He didn't have anything to carry on with. But it was a really great album at the time, and it's much more the kind of stuff that I like, you know, his kind of rhyming matched with the kind of hip-hop beats that appeal to me, and this is just interesting rhymes that he's obviously contemplated quite seriously, which you can't say for all rappers these days. But in terms of the beat and the music behind it, I found it a little bit dull after a while.
Yeah.
But I have always felt that about Tribe Called Quest. I don't know if that's sacrilege to say, but...
It probably is. Why dull?
Too jazzy.
Too jazzy.
It sounds a bit narrow-minded.
Jazz equals dull. Is that what you're trying to say, Rosie Swash?
It doesn't until it meets hip-hop, and then it's fucking dull.
So gangster, and you're just not having that at all.
Only in the moments when they weren't too jazzy. I shouldn't say that because I just interviewed Guru about his Jazzmatazz collections. But it's not... I mean,
Jazzmatazz is utter bilge.
I have a lot of time for jazz and what goes into it, and I find it interesting rather than I want to listen to it. But none of that, I feel, really gets translated into the hip-hop, which borrows from it.
I thought Tribe Called Quest were always good at taking bebop jazz and taking those hooks and building them into hip-hop grooves, and I think that's kind of what he's done here. Anyway, that is Man, Woman, Boggy. Let's just call it Man, Woman, Boggy, by Q-Tip, and The Renaissance is out right now. Last, but certainly not least, it's El Guincho and Palmitos Park. That was El Guincho and Palmitos Park. El Guincho is the alias of Pablo Díaz Reja, an electronic party artist from Barcelona, which, listeners, is in Spain. His one and only album is Alegranza. It's a big old bubbling stew of sound, samples, Afrobeat, Calypso, Bossa Nova, and something he likes to call Space Age Exotica. He's been compared to Panda Bear, Gang Gang Dance and Animal Collective, though such references are increasingly just shorthand for anyone who makes a right old racket. Rosie Swash.
Yes.
It's down to you now.
Well, I thought I'd do the total opposite of something like TV on the Radio, which there's a lot to talk about there, which there isn't a lot to talk about with El Guincho. It's party music, and it taps into something that is quite popular at the moment in terms of sampling, cutting up tracks, using samples from all different kinds of places, not just other music, but all sorts of sounds and weird genres that you don't hear anymore. And I guess it was brought to my attention by someone who saw him live and said, that guy's actually fantastic, which when you listen to it on the MySpace particularly, or if you get any of his stuff from iTunes and listen to it there, it won't carry over as much as if it's live and he's, no.
Yeah. No, I just remember people saying exactly the same thing to me at South by Southwest. They were all going, everybody's got to see El Guincho. El Guincho is where it's at. And I didn't get to see him. And then I heard the music. I was like, this is Mambo number 5.
Yeah, exactly. But it does, there's something that he brings to it that works. And I think there are people who are, you know, he is a bit of a hipster, but there are people that are doing it in a way that they're taking it far too seriously, like Girl Talk, which I kind of think, I don't understand why people are getting so massively excited about Girl Talk. At least this guy wants people to dance and have a good time and isn't taking it too seriously.
Is it worth taking seriously, Dan?
I think it is. I think there is stuff to talk about. I mean, it sounds to me like he knows a lot of very cool, very hip 50s lounge and exotica records. And also he's probably drawing on Sergio Mendes and people like that. And just, you know, sticking it through a load of fantastic electronic gizmos and having a laugh with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it sounds to me, what's going on.
I certainly definitely think there's an effervescence, and you're right, the fun comes through it. I just wonder whether, by the time he's boiled down all these different influences into one song, whether they don't sound quite similar to standards.
Saying, right, okay. Are you saying there's an element of the Jive Bunny about it?
Just a tad. I mean, I don't think it's not cynical like that. It doesn't sound cynical like that. But I do wonder, it's the Palmitos Park is, you know, it is very much in that Latino kind of mambo, rumba kind of frame. And then you've got other stuff that just sounds like quintessential Afropop and right almost, you know, sticking completely to the tracks.
Do you think it sounds novelty because from an Anglo perspective, and it maybe doesn't if you're Spanish, South American.
It doesn't sound novelty in the sense that it's new, and it might sound novelty in the sense that it's kind of a one-off thing that you'd like and then not come back to for kind of, you know, repeat listens, and so maybe yes, but I mean I do know that, you know, El Guincho, he is big in the Spanish hipster community, so they must be hearing something in it that's new and fresh to him. Although I do think that he's taking stuff from outside of a European Spanish culture, generally.
So what's he like live? Is it a full band?
I still haven't seen him, unfortunately, but everybody goes crazy about him. I saw some clips on YouTube.
But is it a full band or is it
that I don't know. I don't know. But you know, like, say, Girl Talk, for example, is to parallel that. He just uses a laptop on stage, and you think, how can that be interesting? But also, he goes kind of crazy.
But that, to me, he is Jive Bunny.
Yeah,
that is just, I mean,
I don't get it.
It's just rubbish.
That's
isn't
a man
it?
You wouldn't want to be stuck in a room with, laptop or no laptop.
I think he needs to open a club night and then turn it into a franchise which has a dating service and then a show on Radio 6 and that sort of thing, you know. The new Guilty Pleasures
Guilty Pleasures for people that think they're cool.
Yeah, exactly. There's a real demographic out there like me. You probably fucking lap it up. Right, Palmitos Park is available on iTunes right now. We want your reviews of this week's tracks, please, from TV on the Radio, Q-Tip and El Guincho. You can review by posting on our blog at guardian.co.uk/music/musicblog or indeed hitting us right up on Facebook. Tell us what you think of them, but maybe punctuate between artists so we know which bit to cut out for later use. Actually, you don't have to. We're quite smart. We can work it out for ourselves. And you can also view these other tracks that are out to buy now. Don't go out tonight. Alphabeat. What is happening? What is happening to you? What is happening? Chris Brown, Superhuman. George Pringle, LCD I Love You, but...
Take me out tonight, away from the sprawl.
Santa Gold, say aha.
Away from the sprawl. Oh, the moon's hung low, that seedy glow. She knows, she knows, she
That's
knows.
The montage. That's the traditional ceremonial ending of Singles Club. But before we go, we'll just quickly pass over your comments on last week's singles. Kanye's Love Lockdown, Florence and the Machine's Dog Days, and Beyonce's Single Ladies. Rosie, I suggest you and I take it in turn here, and you can go first.
Okay, this is Kebabet, and he or she says, Kanye is Bally King Midas as far as I'm concerned.
EJD says, I still don't know what to make of Love Lockdown. I like it, but something about it is a bit low-key or subdued. I'm definitely curious about the album because the next single, Heartless, is a bit meh.
Madrid Mike says, I hate, hate, hate Love Lockdown. I think it is a frontrunner for the year's worst track. How people can say this is forward-thinking or original is beyond me. Cher rendered the vocoder defunct after her awful hit Believe 10 years ago. And before that, it was being milked by Daft Punk and their predecessors. All that Kanye is doing is hopping on the electronic bandwagon, which has seen the production methods of electronic music transferred successfully to the world of hip-hop and R&B, Sexy Back being a prime example. This track is pure tripe.
Interesting. Blunto says, now Florence, meaning Florence and the Machine. An act which I would have placed as being big on The Voice, but not so good on Finding Joy. That I don't quite understand. But though Hospital Beds is beautiful, it's not the most cheerful cover you'll ever hear. I was expecting her to become a bit of a St. Vincent, but no, she is the new Kate Bush. Brilliant. Can't wait for the album. Okay, remember you can read a textualised version. That's actual printed words of Singles Club every Wednesday on guardian.co.uk/music. For now, though, sadly, we have to say goodbye to Gareth Grundy. Now, Gareth, you reviewed Kanye's new album, 808s and Heartbreak.
I did.
What do you think of the new direction?
It's excellent. It's a fantastic record. It's not a hip-hop record. So hip-hop bores will be upset, as they have been online. It's a pop record. He wants to be a pop star. He's lost his mum, he's had his heart broken, and I think he's trying to make up for that by becoming the biggest star in the world, not just the kind of biggest star in hip-hop.
Now, do you think it worked on the terms of pop music? I went and listened to it, and I got a review party the last night, and there's it does sound new to me and original. I haven't heard anybody configure the different elements in this way before. But I wasn't convinced there was a number of standout like pop hits in there.
I think Love Lockdown's great. I think the next single, Heartless, is great. Coldest Winter, which samples an old Tears for Fears track whose name escapes me, is fantastic. There are some really good things on there. And there are two ballads on there. One of them is almost like a full-on Phil Collins kind of 80s power ballad, which is, you know, that will divide opinion. But I'm very pro.
Yeah. No, I think is it the last track on the album, which is just him. I mean, every track has his vocal run through auto tune rather than a vocoder. But there is he doesn't rap; he just sings through auto tune. And this last song is just him without even barely any accompaniment. He's saying he devised it freestyling while kind of supporting Beyonce or appearing with Beyonce. It's very, very different stuff.
Well, yeah, I saw the show last night, and yeah, he's got kind of Michael Jackson in mind. I think when you see the show, he's. You know, his benchmark is much higher than, you know, am I going to be better than Jay-Z, I think.
And that's the interesting thing. There's a blog, which I have written, which is on the music site, and you can check it out. But it's about whether the benchmark is, by setting it at pop, he is really saying, and he said this explicitly, he wants to go beyond the confines of a genre, which will be interesting to a lot of people who think that, well, hip-hop, you can achieve, that hip-hop is enough in itself.
Also, he obviously doesn't think that. Cynically, it's probably very smart as well, because sales of hip-hop are overall not very good in the States at the moment.
That's right, or in the UK, in fact. Very interesting, and thank you so much for coming in, Gareth. It's been great to have you. I hope you'll come back and join us again in the future. Right, that was Situation by Yazoo, a blast from the veritable past there. Rosie, I think it's incumbent upon you to explain precisely why we wheeled that out.
Well, that song features on a fantastic compilation which is out right now called Dreams Come True, and it's a collection of first wave electro tracks. John Savage is the man behind it. Now, John is famous for being the leading journalist when punk exploded for Sounds magazine in the 70s. He was involved with Joy Division, and he's involved with the Joy Division documentary, not Closer, but the one that the band made. He wrote England's Dreaming, the definitive punk chronicles. So this is like the last kind of music that you would ever associate John Savage with. And yet I get this beautifully packaged CD from Domino and it has his name on it. So, and it is a fantastic compilation that's obviously some kind of labour of love, so I thought it would be good to get John in the studio and ask him why, and also ask him why now.
I'm a great lover of music, and ever since I got iTunes, which is some time ago, I sit at my desk writing, and in my downtime I make compilations for people. And one day I made a compilation of early 80s electro, and I gave a copy to Lawrence at Domino, who I know, and eventually he said, let's just put it out. And that's the way all my compilations have started, just as really enjoying something. Electro was a kind of music that happened at a crucial period in my life. It was after punk, and in punk you weren't allowed to like dance music, which is really stupid, except that everybody sneakily liked I Feel Love by Donna Summer and Magic Fly by Space. And suddenly there was this idea that electronic computerized dance music and disco was actually really great and really futuristic and actually much more futuristic than punk. You started getting the white avant-garde and black kids in New York and Detroit interested in the same kind of music. So people like Afrika Bambaataa did actually like, Depeche Mode. Producers like John Roby in New York did actually remix Cabaret Voltaire. And Yazoo, who were the first track on the compilation Situation, was done by Francois Kevorkian. And so there was this real crossover between the kind of black, Latino, gay club life and avant-garde English synthesizer music, and also Kraftwerk, obviously, were very important.
Now, not to say it mirrors that period, but economically we're entering a period where we're getting news flashes of projections of 2 million people unemployed by Christmas and all that sort of thing. And one thing to come out of that, a lot of critics are saying, writing opinion pieces about this being a great thing for pop music, and that pop music at the moment is stale. Is that a myth, do you think? Is that an exaggeration, that out of hard times comes fantastic music?
Well, it did in the 70s, but then what would you rather have? Would you rather have people having hard times, or would you rather have great music? I would actually rather have people not having hard times, really. And I'm not sure whether it works like that. And I'm always very wary of judging the youth of today by my own youth. I think it's very ill-mannered to do that, to be honest. And everybody goes on about, oh, yeah, it's good, another punk's going to happen. Well, actually, the 70s recession started in 73 with the three-day week and the OPEC oil price rise. And if this one, so, and punk didn't start till 76, so we got 3 years, basically. And also, in another way, if people are having had hard times, then they're going to want escapism. So I think it's a bit too early to call all that one. And it really is up to the people who are at the sharp end of it to call it, rather than middle-aged rock critics, to be honest.
It seems like a natural point in the interview for us to queue up a track from your compilation. You picked another one, which I've read. Get Wet, is it? Do you want
Get
to
Wet.
It
what I like about electro is that in one way it's very punk. It's very brutal. And it's very, very brutal and simple synthesizer melodies that anybody can play. And very primitive kind of rhythm machine patterns. The whole point of pop music is that it's about transformation, it's about something different, it's about glamour, it's about something that's outside of yourself, that's not everyday. And I do find the current phase of seeking to make pop and rock music into something everyday, it's just boring. You know, if it's everyday, then you might as well be watching sport. I mean, the problem is that most rock criticism, and I mean, I do it as well because I review records and I like reviewing records. It's a great thing to do to review records. But most, because a lot of the people involved in, a lot of rock critics have tertiary education. They are very educated. They tend to go for the lyrics and they tend to analyze the music through the lyric, which obviously favors rock music. Because in dance music, a lot of the lyrics are very functional determinedly functional. But there's another way of analysing music, which is the sound and the psychological and the physiological impact on the body. And again, that's what a lot of rock criticism misses, which is the pure pleasure of dance music and also its capacity to suspend time. In a proper dance record, it actually, you just forget what the time is, even without drugs.
Dreams Come True is out now.
Yeah.
On Domino.
On Domino. Okay. Wonderful label. It was a great period of excitement and a very sort of fertile period of crossover and of influences. And it just seemed to be the right time now because it's very up. It's very simple. It's very direct. Some of it's a bit silly, and that's good. And it makes people smile. And I think there's always room for that, isn't there? You can't be, you know, I love angst-ridden music, but you can't be angst-ridden all the time, can you? This one is called Love Ride by Nuance featuring Vicky Love. What's so great about it is that it has all the cliches of the genre, and it has all the gimmicks from the time. It has orchestral stabs. It has vocal samples leading up to a climax, which is called the popper's bit. And it also has a really crap rap. So it's just got everything. I love it.
Thank you very much for coming in and talking to me.
Okay, thanks a lot.
That was John Savage on Love, Life and Disco, and his compilation Dreams Come True is available from Domino Records right now.
Thank you very much, Rosie. That was fantastic.
Great sleeve notes as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much, Rosie. Now, over to your face backery now. There was some consternation last week. Yes, consternation on the blog. Can you believe it? And it was over the unnamed feature. There was consternation about the fact it remains unnamed, and yes, there were a whole scoop more suggestions on what to call it. Portishead, well, he was the man who originally named it, and it was for about 2 weeks only until Rosie made a well-timed intervention. It was called Sniffing Old Glue, no longer. Portishead returns to the blog this week. Well, I'm very disappointed, he says. I don't listen for 1 week, get a new job, and there is my new proudly named item right where I left it, gone. How about... And here's a few new suggestions. Secret Chords. Burnt out journos sit in a dark room and wax lyrical about fallen heroes in a desperate attempt to rediscover what drove them into a similar dark room all those years ago. Now, that might be factually accurate, but it's a bit lengthy, I do think. And also, to describe Rosie Swash as burnt out, you know, I mean, you don't reveal your age, but let me tell you, it's really young. Teenage Mutant Ninja Musicians, that's another suggestion. Trip the Past Fandango Time. X Factor, Romancing the Anti-Stones.
He's gone mad.
He has gone mad. I think he hit his purple patch with Sniffing Old Glue, and it may be a little bit downhill from there on. Azoba said, on the feature with no name naming, I'd like to suggest some others in the obvious category. Too Good to be Forgotten, and Thanks for the Memories. Some that are precious stone related, including Mining for Gold and My Brightest Diamond. Rosie, there's nothing wrong with having a precious stone theme, you know.
Not,
they
my
have it on GVC.
Stone. Can you imagine? Paul Lester, My Brightest Diamond.
I can very much imagine Paul Lester, My Brightest Diamond.
I like Past and Present.
The one I'm about to read.
Sorry.
My favourite is Past and Present. Do you like that?
It's
Rosie?
A bit plain, but at least it is what it is.
Do you like it?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. Past and present. Well, maybe we'll keep that one in consideration. We're going to have to resolve this now that people have actually made suggestions. Thank you so much for that. We love you. We really love you contributing all the time. But seeing as we've actually discussed the name of it, it would seem remiss of us not to have an actual nameless feature. So here we go. It's Tim Jones, who commemorates the 50th anniversary of Motown this month by remembering the music of Kim Weston. Baby, it takes two, baby, make a dream come true, just take two, one can have a broken heart, living in misery, two can really ease the pain like a... If you say the name Kim Weston to people, it's more than likely you'll be met with a blank expression. Weird, really, because if you say Marvin Gaye, or It Takes Two, people will not just know what you mean, but quite possibly provide you with their own unique karaoke version of it too. Signed to Tamla Motown in 1963, when she was just 23 years old, Kim Weston released some great singles for the label, like Love Me All The Way and the upbeat sax-powered Helpless. Shortly after her duet with Marvin Gaye,
She left Motown for MGM and never reached the same level of success, despite recording a well-known version of the black national anthem, Lift Every Voice and Sing. My personal favourite Kim Western song is a track that only properly saw the light of day in the late 90s, when it was made available on the awesome compilation This Is Northern Soul Volume 1. Just listen to the energy of You Hit Me Where It Hurt Me without wanting to dance. That these songs, along with choice cuts from the likes of Brenda Holloway, Gladys Knight and Linda Griner, were left in the Motown vault so long is surely a testament to the quality of that label.
That's Tim Jones there on Kim Western. Thank you very much, Timothy. Right, that's it, gang. The final part of this week's podcast, we say hello to our new Facebook friends, Bruno Davey, Pete Young, Philip Clayton Smith, Turntable, Spoil Sports. Doesn't sound like a real person. Coy McAuliffe and JJ. But otherwise, that is it. Rosie Swash, it's been a pleasure being with you today.
Pleasure.
I hope to see you soon. And to the rest of you all, we'll be back on Friday and days after that. Until then, however, bye-bye, bye-bye, bye-bye.